Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we just got done watching Season 6, Episode 3, entitled Oathbreaker. What do you think?
I think these were a lot easier when I knew everything was going to happen. it's another fairly mind-blowing episode for me. I thought it was pretty good. There's some things that I'm scratching my head on and trying to understand, but I don't know. Like, it was cool to see the Tower of Joy sequence. The Tower of Joy, the Kingsguard facing off against young Ned Stark and his entourage. That was cool.
Right. Yeah, there were a couple scenes that made this for me. That was one of them, the sword fight, and then also the hanging at the end of it.
Yeah.
That really did some favors, you know, because we were debating whether or not Jon Snow would come back and be free of his vows and all that kind of stuff, and apparently he views himself as, yeah, my watch has ended. I'm done.
And yet the episode's called Oathbreaker.
Right.
So what... Or were there any other instances of oaths being broken?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure where I fall on Alistair and his oath at the moment. Like, he talks a good game. He tries to play it off like, oh, yeah, I'm doing what I had to do for the Night's Watch and the Wall and the Realm, and no.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it was just like, he didn't like Jon. He didn't like the decisions that the new Lord Commander was making and took matters into his own hands. So maybe he's an Oathbreaker. I don't know.
What about the former Stark loyalist that apparently betrayed Rickon to the Boltons?
Right.
To the Bolton at this point. I don't know what to think about that. Like, if you'd asked me at gunpoint before this episode started, I'd be like, if this is some trick that the Umbers are playing to gain the Boltons' favor, and I was still thinking that up until they showed the executed direwolf.
Right.
That seems like the Umbers have just completely turned full-on Stark traitor, which I wonder, like, is that another of the Oathbreakers?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I mean, this is why
it's not a precise fit, right?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I guess maybe the show writers might consider Jon an Oathbreaker.
Hmm.
Maybe at the end, you know, he says his watch has ended, but it hasn't.
Sure.
Fact.
That's why I wonder, like, you know, again, there's the matter of the law.
Right.
And the letter of the law. And then there's what you can explain and what you can, you know, it's like there's hereditary, you know, the titles being trained. And then there's also rebellions and whatnot. Like, this is something that's unprecedented. So it's one of the things that's long been speculated that one of the side effects of Jon being resurrected is that he'll be free from his oaths.
Right.
But he's only as free as, I guess, everybody in the Night's Watch considers him. And what do the Wildlings think? Do they even care? Mm-hmm. They seem like they're ready to worship him as a god.
Yeah, I don't think they care about his oath.
Mm.
Not one bit.
What'd you think of finding out that Lord Snow is hung like a gorilla?
That's interesting. You know, it's canon now. So, sorry, Kit Harington, but Kit Harington forever is under-endowed on television.
He's a half inch shy of an inch, so I've heard.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim, order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar, then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
The other thing, before we leave the North, I'm trying to be systematic about this. Are you surprised that Melisandre is as cowed as she is? Like, I thought it was interesting that Davos just dismissed her from the room, and I'm surprised she wasn't like, oh, I'm sorry, I just brought him back to life, but I guess I'll let you guys talk it out.
Yeah.
In fact, she's still bundled up. She feels like her fires are still burning low. I thought this was going to really light a newfound fire under her ass.
It might still. I mean, she's in shock in that moment, right? Like, she doesn't quite know what's going on.
Or maybe she'll actually not be as arrogant and, you know, like, she'll
it's
be...
It's tough to imagine after you bring somebody back from the dead.
Well, it'd be one thing if, like, he jumped up right when she was doing her thing, but I don't know. It's almost like the Lord of the Light, if he's involved at all, is making a statement here. Like, I'm gonna bring... I'll bring him back when I want to bring him back. Fuck right. All y'all.
Right.
But I was surprised to see her fire's kind of burning low, and she's still kind of relatively, you know, like, maybe she's in shock, or maybe she doesn't know what to think, but she wasn't pressing her advantage.
Yeah.
Any that she had. Anyway.
Not yet. It'll be interesting to see how she acts in future episodes, I think.
Were you surprised that John didn't pardon any of them? I kind of was on...
No.
When he had that all strung up there, and they're giving last words, I thought he might pardon a lot, and then I thought he had pardoned just Ollie.
Right.
But
I'm so glad he didn't.
So is that a material change from pre-death Jon Snow?
Like, no, I'm looking for. So. Okay, I mean, we saw what happened to Alistair's right-hand man, whatever, when he disobeyed an order, right? And he begged for mercy, and, like,
oh, yeah.
John
himself.
Looked like he wanted to give it to him, but he can't. So,
yeah, you're right.
And I thought, as a final act as Lord Commander,
yeah,
that was pretty cold.
Yeah.
Pretty fucking cold.
Sure, sure.
Like, I'm going to hang the four of you and then hang up my coat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I don't know, because that's the other thing, I guess, if he was really free from his oaths, like, did you,
right.
by stepping into those shoes again, did you take up the mantle again? I don't know.
I'm sure there's some stuff he's got to say.
Yeah.
To reignite that oath, but...
And then what's he do now?
I'm hoping he'll go with the Wildlings.
Okay.
On their march south toward the Boltons. Well... The Bolton,
yeah.
The one that's left alive after the massacre last episode.
Yeah.
I'm hoping he'll be a part of that.
Yeah.
And can help. Like, him and Tormund can have kind of their march through.
I just wonder what that fucker's going to do with Asha and Rickon. And, you know, also it's like, yeah, it's great for them to march south, but they really, you know, the battle's happening at the wall, it seems like. So, it's like, I don't know how I feel about Jon... Or any number of the Wildlings going down south instead of, you know, getting ready for the battle that's coming.
Right, yeah. That's a good question. I'm not sure exactly why they would want to do that other than now John's got a mission. Because, like,
yeah.
John's oath, I feel like, might have been the thing keeping him from going south and trying to take back Winterfell on his own. Like, maybe single-handedly, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, now that he's free of that, he might... just march down there by himself.
Well, we also know that Sansa and Brienne are in transit to Castle Black.
Probably, yeah.
So, looking for their arrival next week, week after, maybe?
Uh-huh.
I mean, week after will be halfway through the season, so...
Right.
What else? What
the
else?
Other scene that really made this for me is Varys. I mean, now that Varys is back in full effect, and he's got his birds out there, who... We find out her kids, like,
little
that's
Streeter.
Who's been doing
that's fairly clever, right? No one,
I think
you
so.
See some
yeah.
wretched, dirty child on the street, you don't think, oh, God, gotta mind my words around these people.
Sure. I mean, you look at what Arya pulled off, right? Her oysters, clams, and cockles bit. And everybody just underestimates the kids. And so when they report back to Varys with their whispers, I just really like that. I like how he found out this information and he leveraged it and didn't leverage it like, well, okay, he did threaten her. Let's not, you know, try and sugarcoat this. He threatened her.
But he had a much bigger carrot than stick.
Yes, that's true.
He didn't want her to take the stick. She didn't want to take the stick. It's kind of like, you know, he wants to make people happy.
Right.
It's interesting. Do you think, because we also saw that Qyburn, the new, you know, master of secrets, master of spies, he's got control of Varys's birds at King's Landing. Do you think he's going to be able to start a little birds franchise the way Varys does? Or
He's trying.
I just wonder if we're going to see a scene later on with Varys coming back to be like, hey, kids, you know who's got their good candy.
Right.
He's going to come
He's got some imported candies.
He's going to come by in his van with no windows, and he's going to be like, come on, kids, you know who's got the real candy.
Qyburn's getting a little creepy down there in that dungeon.
You can't trust a creepy man with a cock and balls. You gotta trust the creepy man with nothing. Like, I just got sweets. I got nothing, nothing to hide under these robes.
Except more sweets.
I wonder if there's going to be a battle of the... I mean, I feel like Varys will mop the floor with this guy if ever goes head-to-head.
I would think so, yeah.
I mean, this guy's got a sorcery and all that bullshit, but I mean, I just don't think he's as smart as Varys.
I don't think so.
He doesn't have the experience that Varys has got for number one.
I actually ended up enjoying Varys' scenes more than Tyrion's scene this episode.
Tyrion's was a little weak.
It was.
His essentially 5 minutes of, hey, let's play Never Have I Ever... only you guys don't drink. Like, I was like, huh, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah, and it felt like they're doubling down on how comedic Tyrion is, which is part of what I liked about him, but not all of it. I wanted him to be cunning and intelligent and wise, and like, they're kind of losing that in lieu
of comedy. That stuff only works when he's getting the best of everyone.
Right.
Like, even in season one, like, you know, he parlayed his setbacks into a string of successes that led to Bronn. And then season two, of course, he was at his baller apex.
Right.
But you're right. If they just make him a drunken, funny guy, he's essentially, you know, Norm from Cheers. Like, or I guess we're excited to see him when he comes in the door, but it's like, oh, he's just going to sit down in a bar stool and make feeble jokes all night. They need to give him something to do.
Yeah.
And I guess that's maybe now that Varys feeds him some useful information, he's got something he can act on.
That'd be nice.
Maybe he'll actually swing into high Tyrion gear.
Yeah.
Or that'd be low Tyrion gear.
It's unfortunate because at this stage, it seems like Varys is the one who's needed and Tyrion's just left in the wings because, you know, he doesn't have any scheming to do because there's no one to scheme against at the moment. They don't know who's doing this. Yeah. They finally find out part of it here in this episode, so maybe as we get further into the season he'll grow more into the role there in Meereen.
Yeah, and how do you stop that? You don't have the army to go out and punish the three cities that have lined against you. You don't probably have the gold or treasure to compete with all three of them now they're back in a slaving again.
Yeah,
that was your primary export and you deny the ability to do that anymore. So like, you've got no economic engine. You've got this foreign threat that's pouring money into the street. I don't know what they do. It seems like, you know, if they have Dany back with three dragons and then you got something, but
yeah. And got three cities, three dragons, let's do this.
And what's going on, Dany? So she goes to the Dothraki capital where all the matronly ex-Khaleesis are chilling, and it seems like she's in a precarious position that her worst case scenario is not just twiddling her thumbs and knitting little horse sweaters for the rest of her days. Like, it could be that
maybe killed.
She gets killed, sold into slavery.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of fates worse than death in the Game of Thrones. So I don't know. I was kind of surprised that, you know, like, yeah, you remember me eating the horse hearts, but you don't remember the whole prophecy thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, were you just blowing smoke up my ass? Like, is there going to be a reckoning with that?
That's a good question. I mean, I know they have to delay it until at least Jorah and Daario get there. Like, how pointless would it be to have them go off after her and then she's dead when they get there?
Or
sold into slavery on the other side of Essos or something.
I don't know. I don't know that these two can rescue them Like, maybe if they wait, but then they're putting her fate into whatever this council that's going to decide's hands. I still am holding out hope that Drogon, somehow, she can call him.
Right.
Either outright, and there's some Dracarys, and there's some fire being breathed everywhere, and the whole Caliphate or Caliphate or whatever. What is it? What the fuck is it called?
I think it's Caliphate.
No, that's a Islamic rule.
Right.
But it's like, yeah, whatever the...
It's not the same?
Well, the Cal is the king. The Khalasar. The whole The whole Khalasar falls... There, I finally got it. The whole Khalasar falls in line behind her.
Okay.
Cause yeah,
I'm just interested to see what a Dothraki council looks like.
Sure.
Because the councils I've seen, the parties I've seen...
Yeah, the wedding party was crazy.
It's not what I would actually call a council.
No, that was just them having fun. Like, if there's actually stakes involved, oh my god.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of interesting.
FX is adapting James Clavell's best-selling novel, Shogun, into a 10-part miniseries this spring. Set in the shogunate period of Japan at the turn of the 15th century, Shogun depicts the rise of a feudal lord to Shogun, as seen through the eyes of a shipwrecked English sailor. It's loosely based on the real-life exploits of William Adams and Tokugawa Ieyasu.
Shogun has already been successfully adapted back in 1980 with a widely acclaimed miniseries starring Richard Chamberlain, featuring intricate plots, political scheming, complex characters, and thrilling action. This time, husband and wife team Justin Marks and Rachel Kondo try to recapture the successes of the novel and early adaptations while increasing the levels of historical and cultural accuracy that are often perceived as flaws of this and similar works.
Starring Hiroyuki Sanada from The Last Samurai, Mortal Kombat, and John Wick 4, with Cosmo Jarvis of Peaky Blinders, Raised by Wolves, etc., joining the truly massive cast required to bring this complex world to life. Join Aaron and I each week as we deep dive into each episode, uncovering the mysteries, the intrigue, and the glory of Shogun.
Shogun premieres on FX Hulu Tuesday, February 27th, with a two-part debut. Our podcast will release each Thursday thereafter. Get our Shogun coverage by searching for Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
We try to make it super easy to support making podcasts at Bald Move. Just join the club.
But some people aren't the joining type, or maybe they're already in the club but want to add a little bit of gratuity for an especially great season of coverage, or for podcasts that really spoke to them, or gave them that bit of support in a tough time.
For these, and for whatever other reason you might have, our tip jar is always open. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click the donate option to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Once again, check out support.baldmove.com for all the great ways to help me and Jim keep making the podcast you love.
I like the fact that the Lannisters are kind of at an impasse here because they can force themselves on a small council, but the small council doesn't have to sit on it. We saw that's something we speculated about. Kevin Lannister's come to be the hand of the king and trying to right the ship of state.
Yeah,
but he's not going to have Cersei and Jaime dictate things to him by force.
Uh-huh.
He's like, you know, good luck, kids. Hope you can get all this stuff straight. Did you think that the Grandmaster Pycelle, he farted? He fear farted.
Did he?
You didn't hear that?
No.
I rewound it just to make sure.
Where the mountain...
When the mountain, he comes in, I'm like, is there a little... there's comedy, and then there's broad comedy, and then there's farting, fear farting, because the mountain scares you.
All right.
I don't know about all that.
I did not get that. I need to go back and watch that again.
Right, because again, him and Mace are... complete buffoons. I like the
I typically do an entire fear fart viewing.
Sure.
Of
yeah.
the episode. Just yeah. you know, first time is just pleasure, second time is notes, third time fear farts.
I'm very curious because I don't do the first watch through with the captions, but I'm very curious right. to see how they caption the fart.
Yeah.
Because it was a high squeaky one. It was a dry.
Oh my god.
Dry, dusty fart from okay. the Grandmaster.
Yeah, he's an older guy. He's losing control. He's, you know.
He's a little dry and dusty down there.
And you get a scary...
Just a puff of gold bond coming
Ugh,
out.
Man.
I don't know. And also, like, what are they going to do? Because the other thing that was interesting is poor Tommen is just getting pulled in multiple directions. Even the High Sparrow now has got his fucking sparrow talons into him.
This scene. Oh, the scene. Like, he's just talking a bunch of horseshit nonsense. And Tommen's dumb enough, not dumb, naive enough. He's innocent enough to where this could sound good to him, and this could sound like the right thing for him to be thinking.
What does sound good? Like, if you're a, Seven Gods faithful religious person, it's like, you know, I kind of know the good book, but not quite. This guy's probably spinning stuff that sounds really good.
Probably so. And if you're 14 years old or whatever,
and
he
you don't
is,
know the High Septon like we know the High Septon.
Right.
So, right. I
He's twisting this kid up, and I, God, I hate to see that.
But there's there's no way Tommen comes back and is like, you know what? The High Sparrow laid it out to me, and I gotta leave my wife in there. And mom,
I feel like he might at first, and then Cersei would be like, no, we're not doing that.
They bring Tyrion across Nera Sea just to give him a good slap. Like, you're good at slapping princes, Tyrion. You got no fear.
Yep.
I'm interested to see how, because he'll have Cersei, Margaery, and the High Sparrow tugging on his ear at this point. But man, we haven't even seen her this season.
She was very briefly.
She wanted to see her,
yeah.
But yeah, it's he's got balls at High Sparrow.
He does. He does. I feel like he's going to get him crushed by the strong.
Yeah. What does Cersei mean when she says we're not going to have to face this guy or the mountain? Oh, that's right. Single combat.
Yeah.
Because I had the first question, and then they answered it.
And that's the thing. Like, they said last episode, oh, she's atoned for her sins. And I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. They let her off? I thought she was just staying in the castle waiting trial.
Yeah.
Oh, turns out she fucking is. I don't know. Like, how much atonement do the gods need? When does it end?
Well,
this is like being blackmailed, right? Like, God comes back, and he's like, you know, you atoned last week, but didn't really do it for me. You know, it's a new week. I'm feeling good. We need some more atonement up here in heaven.
Fuck you, atone me.
Right.
It does. I
seems
feel
like
so
a racket.
This seems like just to get that was enough to get her out of the prison.
Right.
That's like she's on spiritual bail,
which is what I thought in the first place. I recanted last episode, and now here I am, up in the air again.
Double recanter.
Yeah.
So we got that going on. Let's see, what else can we talk about? Arya.
Right.
So you gratified that
Who?
It wasn't
a, who's Arya?
No one.
Okay.
Were you gratified that no one didn't have just an easy peasy, like, okay, you're in now?
Yeah,
like
she had a Karate Kid style training montage.
It's a high speed training montage, but it seems like they're. What is the point of the waif with the questioning of her family and her mission and the details? Like, what is the point of that? It seems like she's a human lie detector, right?
Yeah. And that goes back to the oysters, clams, and cockles thing when she was like trying to tell them her routine. Like, oh, I go here and then I go here. They were like smacking her saying, no, you got that street name wrong or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now they're looking for whether or not she's going to slip into I'm Arya.
Yeah.
Like, instead of saying... Then she does this.
Can you please phrase that in a form of a question? They're like Alex Trebeking her.
At
judges.
Some point, she like slips up and says the list instead of her list. Like it's still her own list. And I think she gets slapped for that.
So she drinks the poison.
Yeah,
and it heals her.
Yeah,
and a man said that you know, you have nothing to fear if you're truly no one.
Mm-hmm.
But we know she's still got needle buried.
Right.
So is the god of death easily fooled? Like he's a worse lie detector than the waif with the stick? Or is she truly renounced her Arya ways?
She might have gotten there this episode. Might have gotten there. I feel like, you know, needle's still out there, but I don't know. I guess if you believe that Needle is the signifier.
And is being no one a one-way street? Like, once you're no one, you're no one forever? Or can she, like, be reminded that, hey, you're Arya, and you need to get Needle and go back over? Because I also thought it was interesting the emphasis that she put on the fact that, you know, John's not... You know, John made the most important brother, but she had to put him into half-brother status.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see where her story goes. I mean, you know, we got a second viewing of this, and we can talk a lot more about it.
Is Sam making on the slow topsy turvy boat to Old Town and to the Citadel?
Drop some bad news on Gilly.
Yeah, gonna stay with my asshole dad, but my mom's not bad. I'm curious to see that, like, see what Randall Tarley's all about.
Like, maybe the healthiest relationship in all of Westeros?
Between
Sam and Gilly?
It seems like a sweet couple.
Right. Yeah, I like them.
No fat pink mask to be found.
As long as he keeps that in
his
pants.
I was, as soon as I saw them on the ship, I'm like, oh my God, it's going to be Return of the Mast.
No, I think it's good. I think they're a good match. You know, she doesn't take his shit, but she also, like, understands why he makes the decisions he's making, and vice versa, right? Like, they both get each other.
Yeah, I was kind of gritting my Mulder Stannis style when she started pulling the whole, like, well, you said this.
Right.
But then I felt like, okay, well, you know, this is not a bad compromise, and this is a woman who values her actual safety versus holding to a particular set of words.
Right, right. And the spirit of the law rather than the letter of what he said.
Yeah. Now, I will say that it's going to be weird to put her on pause and the baby on pause and have him go on and do the Citadel thing. So I wonder if they'll have a way to somehow bring them back together before everything's said and done. Because I don't think he can get through with his Citadel training in a single season.
Yeah.
But it seems weird to just, like, okay, Parker at the Tarleys and then that's done deal.
They might do that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to decide, like, where their relationship needs to go, like, from a story perspective.
Uh-huh.
And I don't really have anything right now. Maybe I'll come up with something by Tuesday, but who knows?
What else we got to talk about? I will say
that's
I thought it's weird that they switched up to Tower of Joy, because there's supposed to be three Kingsguardians there, and there's only two. I thought the sword fight... You liked the sword fight. I thought the sword fight is a little bit too twirly for my taste.
Yeah, he does that double twirl action.
That's Ray Parks, Darth Maul nonsense that looks flashy, but, like, it. I don't know. It's always, but it gets a little too Hollywood when they're twirling their swords around like that.
Yeah,
it was cool. I thought it was interesting how Bran took exception to his dad being part of a knife behind the back situation.
Yeah.
Like, is that one of the things that Bran needs to learn? Like, you know, your father is honorable, and he died like a dildo. So maybe you got to stab. Maybe Howland Reed's got the right idea.
Yeah, he's not as honorable as you thought.
Yeah,
he's telling lies to people.
And they are maddeningly pumping the brakes on these reveals. Like, I really want to know what's going on up in that Tower of Joy.
Sure.
I wish Bran, like, I don't know, 30 seconds, really, old man, 30 seconds is going to, and I'm like, oh, I started sitting forward in my seats, like, oh, Bran's going to be like, I'm stepping around the old man.
Bran needs a fucking stick girl to beat some sentence into him, because he just does not get it.
Yeah, also,
like,
if he comes back one more time and says, why did you bring me back? I'm going to get the stick and reach through the screen.
Exactly.
Like, Jesus, Bran, I know you're a kid and all, but damn.
Understand it.
What did you think of Ned seeming to hear him from the dream state?
That's interesting. It makes me wonder if the past is, in fact, inked dry inked as much as this tree guy says it is.
Yeah.
Like, could Bran actually go back and change something in the past?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Also, I'm curious to see what my fellow book readers made of him proclaiming that he had been waiting for 1,000 years up in that tree.
Right,
because I was like, what?
Timeline, as far as I know.
Yeah.
But
I'm
we'll
curious to see
it.
What people will think. That was probably something more of a Friday podcast question.
Yeah.
But no, there's a lot of interesting things in that to unpack. I feel like that's about all the major topics.
Yeah, I think so.
So look forward to the full cast on Tuesday, as always. Feedback, if you got it, gameofthrones@baldmove.com or on our forums. There's a spoiler thread and a non-spoiler thread for your convenience, correction thread for the spoiler edition. There's all kinds of stuff to talk about. Forums.baldmove.com, gameofthrones@baldmove.com, and we will see you back Tuesday for the full featured scene-by-scene breakdown, tons of feedback, main podcast.
Sure will. See you then.
Good night.